There's a second question that says, if someone is put out for serious sin and refuses to leave and comes back because it's a public building, is it okay to go to court to keep him out? You know, some people have done this sort of thing, and it just really is a blot on the life of the church. This sort of fisticuffs and locking the building and all this sort of thing. That is the arm of flesh, and it has no place in the church. We're not keeping people out of the building. The building isn't the church. We're putting them out of the fellowship. They can show up in the building, but they're not in the fellowship. The fellowship means that we all share, we all have a part in common. And they have removed themselves from that by the decision they've made. We are acknowledging that they've done that. We are separating ourselves from them because they are unrepentant. If they come and come into the building, well, they're in the building. But they know they're not part of that local fellowship. Some years ago, there was a problem in an assembly where a man left, and the elders dealt with this man because he had been schismatic in the local church. Some Christians were loyal to this man, and they started going and meeting with him. And so in meeting with them, the elder said to them, now, this is not a wise policy. We have exercised discipline against this person, and now you're siding with him. And so they said, well, are you going to put us out of the fellowship too? So, well, no, you see, you're putting yourself out of the fellowship. It's not a matter of putting you out of the building. You see, you can be in this building and you can be in the house with that man. You can't be in fellowship in both places. You can't be in fellowship with the person who's been disciplined and in fellowship with the people who've disciplined him. So you have to make a choice. So it's not a matter of saying, we're going to put you out of the fellowship. The point is, you have removed yourself from the fellowship if you want to associate with a person who has been disciplined by the church. So it's not a geographical thing at all. There are people, and this is a very difficult thing, when someone has been disciplined and members of their own physical family are also in the local church. What do they do? Now, as far as I can see, it's not a matter of them withdrawing from family life with this person. It's a matter of recognizing the church discipline. It's a matter of withdrawing fellowship. In other words, what you have in common at the spiritual level. It's not a matter of not sitting at the table. You know, there are certain groups that have said that if someone's not in the fellowship, you can't sit at the same table with them. And so mothers would push two tables together and put one tablecloth over it and have certain members sit at one end. And well, that's not what it's talking about. That's really being, well, I shouldn't say silly, but it's being very superficial about the thing, isn't it? When we're dealing with someone who is put out of the fellowship, it doesn't mean that we're rude to them when we meet them on the street. We're not rude to them. We're Christians. He's a brother. He's still my brother. But it means that we cannot have fellowship. And what's the purpose of that? The purpose is that our fellowship is our life. And when we say, brother, I wish we could talk about the scripture. I wish we could do this. But you see, you now have separated yourself. There's a distance between us spiritually. I still love you, and I long to see you come back. But the purpose of this discipline is that you might long for that fellowship again and do whatever has to be done to get back into it. So this is an important principle. It has nothing to do with geography. It has to do with a spiritual action in which we're saying we are going to withhold, though it's painful for us to do it, we're going to withhold the fellowship, sharing what we have in common with you, so that you will see the cost. We are trying to reproduce what has happened in the big picture, which is sin comes in and breaks fellowship between that person and God. And we're just trying to stand with God in the thing, right? And so if that action is taken, it's because they have broken fellowship with God through their actions. We long to see that restored. And the moment that's restored, we want to restore fellowship too. Now, it's not relationship. The relationship stays the same. He's my brother. He's a child of God. He hasn't removed himself from the relationship, but he has broken the fellowship. In my home, when I was a boy, once in a while I did something that offended my father. Shock registers on the face of the crowd. I would try to act like nothing had happened. We did not have wide hallways in our house, and I would try to pass my father in that hallway as if everything was fine. Our relationship was the same. He was my father, I was his son. Nothing I could do could break that. But our fellowship was non-existent. And only when I repented, told him I was sorry, was restored to fellowship, and everything changed. And that's what God wants. He wants us to realize we can't go on as per usual. We have to deal with the thing. It has broken the fellowship between God and the man and or the woman. And therefore, we are recognizing what God has suffered, and we are suffering with God. We are taking our stand with God, and we are recognizing that there's been broken fellowship. Not relationship, but fellowship. And as soon as that brother seeks out the face of God and seeks restoration, repents of his sin, then we are happy to recognize what has happened and to restore fellowship with him. But it doesn't have to do with a family life. If a woman doesn't have to leave her husband because he's disciplined and she's in fellowship and therefore she can't eat with him, that would be absolute madness, wouldn't it? It's not that at all. It's not at the family level. It's a matter of recognizing the issue of church fellowship, which has been withdrawn.